Trying to find the right person to join your sales team, well, it could be a challenge. And especially in these times where it may be hard to find the right people or find people in general for the job, how do you make sure that the individual you're bringing on is going to be a good fit for your team? In this episode today, we're going to share with you some insights, hopefully can help you in that process. And if you are a sales rep, hopefully this can help you too as you're trying to figure out what I should present as my qualities as I'm looking to get my next or first sales job. Check it out. Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome to Selling in Color. My name is Donald C. Kelly, the Sales Evangelist, and I'm so excited for another great episode. I'm so excited to be here with you today. And on this episode, I'm bringing you an episode from my archives, from the Sales Evangelist podcast. And if you're not familiar with that, that's my other show. It's been around for about 8 years. This show here is relatively new, and I would love for you to check that one out as well if you like Selling in Color. On that podcast, I interviewed this guy named Billy Keels. And Billy, he is an amazing sales leader working with a global organization. And he's actually over in Europe right now at the time when we recorded this episode. He may have moved around since then. And he was overseeing some of the African countries as well as the European countries and doing some amazing things with that. He is an entrepreneur, also doing some things on the side with his business and helping folks understand information and financial literacy and educating them that way. And you can find some more information about that. But I thought it would be great to bring on this episode, not only as someone that looks like you and me and is a sales leader, but someone that's actually doing some amazing things in this space, doing a side hustle as well, and impacting the world in a global way. And I thought his insight would be very beneficial for you. So let's dive into this episode. If this is your first time listening or watching one of our podcasts, I ask you, please, please subscribe. And if this is your If you've been listening for a while and you've been watching our videos, I ask you to go ahead and subscribe. It would mean a lot to me. And I know for our listeners and viewers who come after you, it would make a lot of sense for them as well. Leave us a little rating and review, man. Tell them how much you love this podcast and how it's been contributing towards your sales success and towards your life. Anyways, let's jump in and listen to Billy. Welcome to the show, Billy.
Hey, Donald. Thanks so much. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today, man.
Hey, man. Same here. I'm excited to pick your brains and learn some of the cool things that you're sharing and seeing that's working. But before we dive into all that fun stuff, man, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing.
Sure. I'm trying to stay as busy as possible. I guess that's kind of been in my gene pool since I've been on this earth for a good better part of 40 some years. So today, aside from being a very, very happy husband and busy father, I guess are probably the two biggest job titles that I have. I've been working for a very large enterprise software company where I've had different roles in sales and sales leadership on a global level, as well as a regional level. And the region that I live in is Europe, Middle East, and Africa. And most recently, I have been doing enterprise sales in Spain, where I live in Barcelona, Spain. That's what I do during the day. And then I've also been building my own business in terms of investing in real estate back in the United States. So when I am not with family, I am probably learning something new and trying to add as much value to others that are around me. And always sales capacity, as a wonderful profession that it is a part of what I'm doing 24 hours a day.
Man, well, you come with some wisdom, some knowledge, definitely from the sales professional side as well as the business owner side. So I'm really excited to pick your brains on this, man. And this is coming down to hiring. We are going into 2020, and many of the organizations listening to this probably said, you know, 2019 wasn't all that great. We had some challenges. We want to hire some new people, bring them on board. But hiring, it's that bad word, man. Sometimes it's a process, man. ZipRecruiter's out there making some money. If everybody out there is hiring. No, don't get any sponsors from ZipRecruiter, but shout out to them. But I want to hear, there's so many different mistakes and challenges that people make when it comes towards hiring good sellers. And I'm not just saying sellers, it's like, you know, good sellers. So three things to look for when hiring successful sales reps. I want to pick your brains on those. What are those three things? And then we could take our time and break down each of them.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, I'm happy to, because this is, I guess, one of the things that I've learned over, you know, 20 some odd years of dealing in a lot of different models. And I guess one of the things I would say, Donald, is we're going to talk about the three things that we believe are important whenever you're a sales leader and you're looking to hire successful sellers. But I also just want to give a little bit of context, because I think it's always important to think about what is the I guess, what is the model in which someone is working, number one? And what do I mean by that? Meaning, is someone in a kind of a net new names? Are they looking to hunt new business constantly? Or are they more in a farming role, which means that they have existing customers and they're looking to sell more within the existing customer base? Also, some of the things to think about, you know, are you working for a really big multinational brand? Or are you working for maybe a smaller, more niche, lesser known brand? And kind of with those things to think about, we're going to talk about the three things that we think are really important for hiring successful sellers. And just keep in mind, you're just going to need to turn the knob a little bit, depending on where you are in terms of net new names or existing customers, as well as big brand or maybe smaller brand.
Okay, makes sense. Well, let's just dive into it. Let's say this is a B2B company and they're selling to software to other organizations similar in the same industry.
Yep.
But okay. Sales rep, let's tackle that in that aspect. What are some of those things that we should look for?
Yeah. So I think the number one thing that we've learned to look for is you must be able to hire the right behavior, right? That without a doubt is it, because when you think about the whole sales process, right, there's, you think about different skills and behavior and process and different products or services that all come together that you have to put in front of people. But what we found that the most difficult thing to actually hire for is the right behavior. And let me give you an example. So imagine we'll take it maybe a different direction. We'll be in an inside sales or remote selling motion. And it's somebody that needs to be able to make 50 or 100 calls a day, right? They have to be able to be proactive and be able to, just without having someone tell them, they need to be able to pick up that phone and have that behavior that says, look, I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to go out. I'm going to pick up. I'm going to ring. I'm going to ring. I'm going to ring. It's very difficult to, no matter how much skill that person may have, if they don't have that impetus to go out and just be able to pick up the phone, or when they're on the phone, that they're smiling at the customer, that the customer can feel that energy. That's the most I think is absolutely key, is to be able to hire the right behavior, to be able to hire that smile, to be able to hire that proactivity, so that you're putting the person in the right opportunity to win. Because I think there are very few successful sellers that don't have the proactivity, that don't have the ability to go out and to be proactive and to move forward. Just as an example, I'm sure we can talk about some other examples within that right behaviors, but was hoping that comes across as the first area.
Yeah. I mean, let's look at ourselves, or like yourself, when you first got into that role, and was that something that you possessed, or was that something that you earned, you developed as a seller, going back to early Billy days?
Yeah. So, and man, you make me think about, now working in enterprise sales and doing it in a different language in a different country. But if I go all the way back to when I either had my first paper route or when I did that first kind of door to door, I used to sell knives door to door. This tells you how long I've been selling. Yeah. I'm positive that there was something already innate in me, just to be able to go out and to be proactive and to think about, okay, what was going to happen when I knocked on the next door. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, what has happened is I've had very good coaches, mentors, leaders that have helped me recognize that that is a core strength that exists. And as I've excelled and have been promoted through the sales ranks, it's also something that I want to now help make others aware of, so that they can recognize that proactivity is there. And it's also one of the things that's going to help them to open more doors, make more connections, and ultimately lead them to helping their customers make the right decisions. So I think it's something that I've always had. It's something that I've become much more aware of. And it's something that I'm appreciative of, and also recognize how I can help others to recognize that in themselves.
Yeah. So can you think of an example of how a seller can do, go back to your Cutco days, or, selling knives? How did you practice this daily?
Right. Okay. So let me, I'll take a step back. So in the Cutco days, right, it was about being able to, I guess it was land and expand. You started with family and friends, and being able to, from there, number one, you had to make out a plan and figure out, sitting down, okay, who was going to actually be the people that I wanted to reach and speak to first. Once I recognized who those people were, it was about actually taking the initiative, because I didn't have a boss that was right there with me. I knew what the scripts were. So I actually had to go out, take the initiative, and actually pick up the phone or go to friend's house and speak to their parents about what value I believe that these knives or the results that they could help the families achieve. in using that as an example, but even if I fast forward to today in application software sales, it's the exact same thing. It's looking at, okay, what is the list of accounts that I'm going to be working with or working on? What is the plan that I actually have to expand on the existing spend that the customers have? How am I going to bring different value cases to them? Which members of the team do I believe are going to be the most important to make the highest impact on the customer? And how do I organize all of the different people, the different resources that I have at my availability, and then be able to do the same thing, to pick up the phone, to make the discussion, or to open up the door, to have the discussion with the CFO or with the CEO or with the head of innovation. And it's a very similar thing, because there's no one that's there that's actually telling me, you have to do this. I mean, it's about me having that proactivity, having the ability to go out and design the sales process and then actually execute against that. So whether it's selling knives door to door or selling in an enterprise, it's being able to recognize you build a plan, you execute that plan. And those are behaviors that I guess that proactivity is something that I've just gotten better at. Hopefully that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. And I would say, if I'm the hiring manager now, are there any questions that you could think that I could ask that would help me to examine this in a seller?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. So aside from being able to ask the questions, I think there are some things that there are questions that you can ask and tools, but you could maybe ask someone in the past, okay, help me understand how you have done this or how you have done something, a specific situation, but really asking them to explain what you've done, not what you would do, because that then opens up to conditionals. And that's a whole bunch of things that when you're getting started, you learn through trial and error. So I would always ask what someone has done, listen carefully to how they explain the way that they've done it in the past, because that when you're looking to hire someone, that's going to help you to, in a certain way, understand how they probably will do things in the future.
So darn true. Well, let's jump into number two. What's the second thing that we should look for?
Oh, this is one of the things that I think is just also key. And it comes to the individual that you're working to being self-aware. And when I say self-aware, there's a whole bunch of things that come in with that, right? Part of it ties into the behaviors that we're talking about. There are some things that are also understanding where that the individual is in terms of their knowledge base, understanding what skills that they have, understanding, you know, what are their ambitions and their attitudes are some of the things that I've thought about as I've hired successful sellers. And when I look back, they definitely had a high sense of self-awareness. And I would also say, Donald, this ties back into one of the things that I wanted to do to set the scene, which is really understand which type of model is the seller in, right? Because when you think about, if I think about somebody who's maybe in an inside or a commercial sales or remote selling situation, that person may have less knowledge. But maybe within that model, you want someone that has higher potential, and you're going to teach them about the product and service. And so you're compensating as a sales leader to understand that, yes, that person is aware that they don't have as much knowledge, but because of the strength of our training program, we know that in a span of 90 days, they're going to be able to position a very highly complex application software. Or it may be something that is much simpler. It may be the knives example that we talked about earlier, but keep that context for the individual or the seller that's coming on board in their self-awareness. Do they understand the different attributes that we talked about before?
Yeah. And I think that's important that you bring up that point with the self-awareness. Like, and I don't know, I've been in this position where I've done my fair share of bad hires.
You're not alone, man. You're not alone.
And it's, I wish there was a way that I could have done that, you know, thought about doing that a little bit more sooner. But you mentioned, like, you know, a couple of things about why is that so important, but how has that helped your sellers you've seen when you've hired them perform better?
Those that are self-aware, I've found that they will typically let you know where they need help, right? Because they recognize where they are in a specific model.
Yes.
They know if they're ahead or behind the curve, and you're managing by exception. So as a sales leader, it allows you to focus on the exceptions, right? And so the more people that you have that are self-aware, that they, hey, listen, I know that I need some help in this particular solution, or I know that it's not the solution. I get that because I come from a strong XX background, but I need help on actually being able to position the solution. I need help on the negotiation. I need help on, so they're coming to you with the areas that they already have have seen based on the model that they're in and where they know what they know of themselves. So it helps the seller, and it helps you as a sales leader be more comfortable that you're helping them on the areas that they believe that they need the most help on. And then, of course, you're going to want to coach them and be close to them to make sure that what they're aware of is, in fact, correct. But I definitely would go with self-awareness as another one of the attributes that's important for successful sellers.
Well, I guess to go back to this, I did an interview and I feel I know your answer already, but I just need to still ask. I'm being the pessimist at this point. Doesn't that tell you then as a manager, well, this person, they must be weak. They can't do sales. You know, they have this problem. You know, does it come across as a weakness or is it actually a strength?
So the first thing I would say is it comes back to what is the model, right? What's the context in which we're working? If you tell me that this is someone that we've hired to manage a strategic account at an enterprise level with customers that are spending, you know, hundreds of millions of euros or dollars per year, and they have a knowledge gap, there's probably going to be an issue there.
Yeah.
But the fact that they've let me know that, I understand in the context that I, as a leader, was not probably doing the right type of hire. If that same individual comes to me, and I know that they're part of a sales academy program that we've brought in people that actually have less knowledge around solution or sales motion, then as a sales leader, then I would appreciate that that person would come up one way or the other. I would appreciate it in both scenarios, but in the second scenario, I would be less worried than in the first scenario.
Yeah. And I think you're right on that. Like the expectation, you prefaced that a couple times there, like, you know, depending on the role, like if I'm hiring a doctor and a doctor telling me they don't know how to provide basic medical procedures, then like, bro, you got to go.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to the dentist and he said, yeah, I do not know how to replace your heart. I'm like, okay, fair enough. That's understood.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I think there's also with it, like as a leader, it helps me to know that somebody is willing to, like, go back to what you're saying, is willing to learn, and you know your limitations. And I've been a part of teams where it's just like the opposite, where it's like, man, you should know this. And it's like, well, I didn't learn your product before, or I didn't know anything about the industry. How am I supposed to know this right away? And granted, you are supposed to take action and be in charge. But I feel I had a conversation with another individual earlier today, and they're talking about how some of the clients that they've had have never ever trained their people, but they expect to see some kind of result from them. It's like, how in the world is that possible? If there's unrealistic expectation. Am I making sense on that?
Yeah, you definitely are. And I guess this is kind of what I was talking about before. And, you know, if you are going to sell anything, there are a couple of things that have to happen for you to sell, right? You need a process to follow, right? Someone would call that a methodology that you need to follow. You need to have the certain behaviors that we were talking about. You have to have some skill, and you also need to be able to understand the service or product that you're selling. So if by definition have just arrived, even if you've been working in the same industry for a while, you may have notions of what the company that you're working for now, because you've seen them as a competitor, but you never are really going to understand until you come in to work for that company. And so that company, one of the responsibilities that they have is to make sure that you understand the value proposition of their product or service. And until you actually understand it from the company's perspective, it's almost unrealistic to ask of someone to be able to do that. So I hear where you're coming from, and I've heard those kind of stories before, but we've got to be able to put our sellers in a position to be successful.
Yes.
If we have unrealistic expectations, then they're never going to be successful, no matter how much they produce.
Yeah, it's like saying, I need you to close $500,000 this quarter, when nobody in the company has ever closed $500,000. The only closest we've gotten maybe was 200,000. So it's like, well, it's not just going to happen right away, and your sales cycle is 8 months. So think about
correct.
It.
Correct. Correct.
Oh, my goodness. All right, dude. Well, I'm the hiring manager. What can I ask the sales rep to see if they're self-aware, if he or she's self-aware?
So I would want to go back to one of the situations to say, hey, listen, you've have them confirm that they've had some challenge in the past, or there was something that they didn't understand. And same thing. Okay, perfect. You had issues with your quota. What did you do in order to improve the results of your quota?
Mm.
Right. And listen to what they are going to tell you. Once again, it's not what they would do. It's what they have done in the past. Number one, because you want to confirm that they've been confronted with challenges, issues, because if they say that they've never had that, then that's probably going to set off a big red flag for you. Because I know very few sellers, like one of the things about sales is we only win probably between 20 and 30% of the time, normally. Mm. So if we haven't had any challenges, that's a big red flag. And then secondly, you want to understand what have they done in the past to be able to overcome that. And part of that is being aware. Were they able to solve the issue on their own? Did they have to reach out to somebody? Did they have to reach out to their boss? What did they actually do to overcome the challenge? Because that's going to help you understand from a self-awareness perspective, how self-aware are they? How potentially independent are they, or maybe needy, based on what they've done in the past?
And powerful. All right. Now the final one, what's the third thing we should look for when hiring successful sellers?
It took me a while to get this one through my thick skull, but once I did, it really, really allowed me to hire successful people and to be able to lead at a higher level. And this is maybe something that you don't see all the time, but there is a level of kind of taking that self-awareness, you take it to another level where someone is able to manage themselves. And so what do I mean by that? They're able to take a specific situation, right? Donald, you're my boss, but I know that I'm having a specific situation. I wanted to make that sale that you were talking about. No one's ever done the sale before of 500,000, right? As the example that you gave.
Yeah.
But why should that stop me from being the first person to ever do it? I want to be able to diagnose the situation. I'm going to say, hey, look, I realize that no one's ever done this before, but based on what I see and what I know of my customer, my pipeline, I believe I'm going to be the first person to do $500,000 in a particular quarter. This is the plan that I have. So you go from actually diagnosing the situation, then you diagnose, then you actually go into the planning. So you're, as a person, I'm starting by myself. I don't need to wait for Donald to tell me, Billy, go ahead and go. No, I've done my diagnosis. I'm now going to go ahead and start to execute or start my plan. And then I'm going to get the result.
Yeah.
And if maybe I've had the $500,000, or maybe I haven't had the $500,000, but the idea is that I was able to go out and get that result. And then let's imagine in this case that I didn't have the $500,000, I was below that. Then I'm going to understand what I need to do to get to the $500,000 next time. I'm going to start to self-correct. So it's kind of this triangle of self-management and being able to be autonomous in the way that most successful sellers are. And that doesn't mean, when I say autonomous, I don't mean that that person is a lone ranger or a lone wolf. I don't mean that. I just mean that the person is autonomous, that they don't need to go to Donald every single time to be successful. They're able to diagnose the situation. They're able to get started without going to Donald. And when they get the result, if they've gone above the result, they understand why. And if they've gone below that, they can self-correct. And then it's kind of an ongoing, you call it a triangle, you call it a circle, whatever you want. But the fact of the matter is that person is capable of managing themselves, their situation, or their virtual account team, or whatever you want to call it. But it took me a while to really get that. And once you are able to bring on the right behaviors, you're able then to help make sure that that person is aware of what's going on. And then when you help to coach and mentor them into a point where they become self-manageable or autonomous, then you kind of have the trifecta there.
How can I examine that in my seller, people I'm hiring? How do I ask that question?
So what is the most ambitious goal that you never achieved, Donald?
Ooh. And,
right. So because once again, it goes back to, and we want to stay on that topic of what have you actually done? Mm-hmm. Number one. And because you're asking about something that there was the most ambitious target that was never achieved, then it's there. And so from there, you just go silent and see what they come up with, right? They're going to tell you in their response how they responded to that. And you want to listen for, did they just jump right in? Did they actually look at the situation? Did they diagnose what was happening? From there, what did they do? Did they wait? Did they go back to their manager? Did they complain? What did they do?
Yeah.
And if they got started, perfect. And then you want to find out what was the result. You already know that they didn't accomplish it, but the fact that they didn't accomplish it, what did they do then? So they take you through what happened to get to the lack of, or the inability to get to that goal, which was probably some big, hairy, audacious goal. And then from there, what did they do to correct? And did they repeat it again? And did they get a better result the next time?
Yeah. I think that's the key there, man. It's being willing. No one is perfect. If you go up at bat, you're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna miss. You know, you're gonna swing and strike out. But it's what I can learn for the next up at bat that's gonna really tell a difference, right? And that's what's gonna help set the seller apart. as opposed to saying, well, it doesn't work, so I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to complain. It's marketing fault.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's a perfect, perfect example. I love the baseball analogy also too, Donald, because I haven't watched enough baseball recently. But it is one of those things, you know. I remember growing up, it was a big thing if someone was batting over 300. By definition in sales, that means 70% of the time you got out. But it's not the fact that you got out 70% of the time. It's what did you do to make sure that when you had, you know, when you were up to bat and it was 3-2 and you'd already had three or four balls batted out of territory, that what did you do to actually get the hit? Or did you strike out? And then when you come up the next bat, were you in a 3-2 situation again, but this time you got a single or a double or a grand slam? It's a very similar thing. I love that analogy. And thank you for letting me go back and remind my old baseball days.
Well, man, this is awesome, dude. If there's one major takeaway you want to pass on to a hiring manager or to a seller, because, you know, she's listening to this and she's like, yes, I got some secrets for my interview I got next week now. What's that one major takeaway?
So I think just from the things that we've talked about now, I mean, and just a quick recap, I mean, you want to look for, make sure you get the right behaviors, because everything starts there. Make sure that they're self-aware and self-managed. And I would say just remember that, or at least the philosophy that I've lived by in terms of being able to bring on successful sellers, is there are different types of successful sellers. And even though we work in sales teams, treat the team at an individual level, because the same environment that Donald needs to be absolutely super successful in as a seller is probably a bit different than the environment that Billy needs to be an absolutely successful seller. And as a leader, you need to know what environment you need to create for however many people you have, whether it's 5 people or 10 people or 12 people, whether it's inside sales or field sales, and just get to know the individual, get to know what environment they need to be successful. Because the more that you can give them what they need to be successful, the more you're going to enjoy your role as a sales leader. Because trust me, when you have all of your sales team clicking on all cylinders, it makes every quarterly business review a pleasure to sit in.
Man, love it. Love it. So darn true on that, man. Well, listen, Billy, if folks out there want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah, so there are a couple different ways. I would say, number one, definitely connect through LinkedIn, Billy Keels. I think there aren't too many of us that are here in Barcelona, Spain. Or you can just go to Billy Keels, BillyKeels.com. That's a little bit more of what I'm doing in my own business, but you can find out more there. But I'd love to talk to anybody around the globe and try to make it really simple to connect with me.
Thanks, man. Well, we truly appreciate you taking time to come on our show today, man. Thanks so much, Billy.
Thank you so much, Donald. This has been awesome, man.
Anytime. That was Billy Keel. And if you want to go ahead and connect with him, tell him that you heard him on Selling in Color and tell him it was Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist. I know he would greatly appreciate that. If you want to hear the original podcast episode, you can also find that on the Sales Evangelist. You can subscribe to that podcast and all the information in the show notes of this episode today. And I tell you, I do this because I want to help you. Speaking about helping you, we have some sponsors for our podcast, and they've been very generous and given us some good, valuable information and things that can help us. And I want to make sure that it can help you as well. So I want you to check it out. Check out the sponsors. Check out some of the great things that they're offering. See if it can benefit you and your team. If you see a first time going into sales, you want to get some training, check out the salesevangelist.com. And I know you can get some great training there because, hey, I provide it. As always, I want you to succeed. I want you to thrive. I don't want you to go out and beg for a piece of the pie. I want you to go out and make your own pie. We're going to teach you and let you know how you can do that with the experts and some of these the most successful people that we know in our space that's doing an amazing job. Thank you so much for being here. And as always, go out and do big things. I appreciate you listening to this episode today. There are many different things you could be doing, but you took the time to listen to this podcast. And for that, I'm truly grateful. If you haven't done so already, go ahead and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this show. Our show is produced by TSC Studios. Our audio engineer is Jershon O'Bale. Artwork and video was designed by the one and only Destin Cunado. Our show note was created by Jake Ligmanowski. Our podcast production manager is Nancy Paul. You can find audio credits to each of our music inside of the show notes. And I'm your host, your coach, your guide down the sales journey, Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist.